The Yogi's Joy, Songs of Milarepa, by Sangharakshita, Windhorse Publications, 2006, read by Subhadra. Preface. In Tibetan Buddhist art, Milarepa, circa 1040 to 1123, is depicted as an ascetic, naked except for a white loincloth and a red meditation band. He sits cross-legged in a cave in the snowy mountains. His cupped right hand is held to his ear to show that he is singing, joyfully singing songs of spiritual instruction. He sings to men and women of all sorts of conditions, as well as to demons and goddesses. His songs are rich in imagery and laced with humour, and though adapted to the capacities of his hearers, they frequently touch upon the deepest truths and sublimest realizations of Buddhism. Although he has a special connection with the Kagyu school, Milarepa is revered by all Tibetan Buddhists, and the story of his life is known, and his songs are sung, throughout the Tibetan cultural area. For the last 70 or more years, that life and those songs have also been known in the West, thanks initially to the joint labours of the American scholar Dr. W.Y. Evans Wentz and the Sikkimese Lama Kazi Dawa Samdup, whose pioneering work, Tibet's Great Yogi Milarepa, was published by the Oxford University Press in 1928 as the second volume of the famous Oxford Tibetan series. Herein, Milarepa, at the request of Rechungpa, one of his two chief disciples, tells how, on the death of his father, he was cheated out of his inheritance by his paternal uncle and aunt, how at the instigation of his mother he learned the black art and destroyed 36 of his family's enemies by magic, and how, repenting of the evil he had done, he finds his way to Marpa the Translator, 1012 till 1097, and becomes his disciple. Marpa is himself a disciple of the Indian tantric sage Naropa, 1016 to 1100, a disciple of Tilopa, 988 to 1069, who had received instruction directly from the Buddha Vajradhara. These gurus taught orally, and their lineage, of which Milarepa was to be the brightest ornament, thereafter became known in Tibet as the Kagyu school, or School of the Oral Transmission. The early Kagyu gurus were noted for the extreme severity with which they treated their disciples, and Marpa is no exception. In order to purify Milarepa of his sins and make him a fit candidate for tantric initiation, he subjects him to a series of strange trials and great tribulations, both bodily and mental. At last his probation is completed, he is initiated, and Marpa predicts that, as a result of his patience and faith in his guru, he will have many worthy disciples full of faith, energy, intelligence and compassion. Marpa then leaves on his last journey to India, and Milarepa pays a visit to his own birthplace. There he finds his house in ruins, the sacred books soaked in rain and covered with dust, and a weed-grown heap of rags and earth proves to be his mother's bones. The experience so disillusions him that he resolves to spend the rest of his life meditating in solitude. This he does, dwelling year after year amid the snows of the Himalayas, ever deepening his insight into the Dharma, attracting disciples, and teaching through his spiritual songs whoever comes to him. The marvels that accompany his last illness, death, and cremation attest to his having attained Buddhahood. In 1962, our knowledge of Tibet's poet yogi was greatly enlarged by the publication of the 100,000 Songs of Milarepa, an annotated translation of the Milagrabham by Gama C.C. Chang. The songs, not literally 100,000 in number, are distributed among a total of 61 stories, as Chang calls them. And during the years 1976 to 1980, I held seminars on 11 of these stories. This book, A Yogi's Joy, is based on an edited transcript of three of the seminars, two of which were held in 1976 and one in 1978. All three seminars took place in a retreat centre in Norfolk, England, and in the course of each one of them, we were swept in imagination from the flat East Anglian countryside to the awe-inspiring scenery of Tibet, with its towering snow-capped peaks, its deep sunless ravines, and its pleasant flower-carpeted upland valleys. There we heard the clear voice of Milarepa singing his timeless songs. He sang to us, as he had sung to the men and women of his own day, of the joy of living without possessions, the joy of meditating in solitude, the joy of uncompromising commitment to the realization of the highest spiritual ideal. In these days of consumerism, the mass media and materialistic values, the world needs more than ever to listen to the voice of Milarepa and take the message of his songs to heart. It is my sincere hope that A Yogi's Joy may be a means of making that message more widely known.